So, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 22nd March 2022. It's a Tuesday. We'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta Myanghua Lianhua Jing. We are at page 274, volume 1. Just relax body and mind, and maintain some form of attention, then you will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Feel off the light so that you can begin your meditation. Awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. The sole purpose and intent is to develop the stability of inner awareness within our true mind, so that we can use it to meditate. Without this awareness, we cannot start the meditation. After we develop awareness, we need to stabilize it so that we can become heedful in the midst of life while in the formal meditation. So awareness-based meditation is simple if you know how to follow the four support that support the development of awareness-based meditation. The first support is relatively simple and easy. It's called relax. You relax into every mind state that arises. Relax every part of your physical body. You can use the mind sweeping method, starting from the forehead, to relax every part within your physical body. Otherwise, if you already trained, conversant, very familiar, then you can just relax. To relax means to be at ease. No tension, no stress, no problem. When you relax body and mind, is the same. You must feel your entire body, your entire mind, free of problem, having complete rest and at ease to relax yourself. Relaxing oneself to develop the inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness is very important. So relax body and mind. Then after that, maintain awareness. You don't have to do anything else, just maintain awareness. The mind that is aware can be aware of many things, but whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Yes, the mind is just aware, no need to know, no need to perceive. Sometimes you are so used to it, aware, perceive, then finish, also can. Yeah? So you keep on aware, 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 yeah? Until the thinking slow down. The mundane mind cease to be active. Then the true mind will surface. Without thought, you are already aware. Without thought, you can realize your true mind, the silent mind. So that is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Relax, maintain awareness. And the third support is 24-hour stability to stabilize the awareness for as long as you can. Theoretically or technically, it's 24-hour. So these three support can establish the base for you to develop this inner awareness. After you have developed it, stabilize it. And when you have become very conversant with it, very skillful at it, which means you can be in the state of awareness immediately, the moment you sit or you lie down. Then this state of mind that is mindful, aware, must be carried into your daily life, so that in the midst of life, you are also mindful and aware with the heedfulness within. Unless you are able to do that, your meditation will not take off. For your meditation to take off, you must be able to develop the training of the mind to be aware throughout the day, not only when you are in the meditative state, formal meditation, but even in your normal daily activity, whatever religious routine that you do, maintain awareness, mindfulness. Everything you do in life, every action, every movement in the present moment, maintain awareness. In every moment of sense experience, maintain awareness. You can do that, you will progress. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Use this mind state to lead life, to develop the mindfulness in the midst of life, to train yourself to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. The wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Palian Hoching, Part 1. We are basing on Master Shen Hua's commentaries. Okay. Sutra. There were four Gandhava kings. Gandhava king music, Gandhava king musical sound, Gandhava king beautiful, and Gandhava king beautiful sound. Each with his following of several hundreds of thousands of followers. So we go to the commentary here. Gandhavas are the musical spirits in the Jig Emperor's court. Hearing that, the Kinaras and the Gandhavas, a musician, we should not become attached to the fact and say in Buddhism there are the Kinara kings and the Gandhava kings who make music, and then use it as an excuse to study music. You should know that they make music for the Jig Emperor, King Sakha. The Jig Emperor is King Sakha. Or in the Chinese tradition, they call him the Yoktai. Yoktai. Yok is Jig. Tai is Wong Tai, Jig Emperor. It was not made within the Buddha Dharma. After taking refuge with the Buddha, they became Buddhism's Dharma protector, and are listed with the eight classes of supernatural beings. Some of which are ghosts, and some spirits who protect the Buddha Dharma. This is not a recommendation that you study music. So this one is just for information. There were four Gandhava kings. Gandhava is a Sanskrit word that means incense inhalers, because they particularly like the smell of incense. When the Jig Emperor wishes to make music, he just burns some ox head, chandana, incense. I don't know what the hell incense is there. And when the Gandhavas smell it, they come to make extremely fine music. The first was Gandhava King Music, a talented musician. Gandhava King musical sound make even better music than the Gandhava King music. Gandhava King Beautiful. His music was exquisitely beautiful, not only melodic, but elegant as well. Gandhava King, beautiful son, was the last of the Gandhava kings, each with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. There were lots of little Gandhavas in their train, and also lots of little Kinaras. All came to hear the Buddha speak the Dhamma. Don't be like a certain singer who goes around chirping like a bird and singing a song for everyone to see. Don't be like that. What is more, that person is always making excuses for himself to say, or for himself to me saying, of the 84,000 Dhamma doll, this is one. He says that making music is one of the Dhamma doll. But he is utterly shameless. He is attached to and caught up in music. And so he tries to snag others into becoming attached to it as well. It's truly pitiful. So this one is Shen Hua's, jovial way of sharing. Then we go to the next section of the suttas. There were four Asura kings. Asura king Balin, Asura king Karaskanda, Asura king Vimachintri, and Asura king Rahu, each with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. So we go to the commentaries. Asura is a Sanskrit word that is interpreted without wine, for they have no wine to drink. It is also interpreted as ugly, because they have a very repulsive appearance. This applies only to the men, because the women are very beautiful. They are called without wine because they have the blessings of God, but not the authority of gods. Asura may be found in the realm of gods, people, hungry ghosts, and animals. Asura are of a hostile temperament. They relish fighting. They like to rage and win war. In the heaven, a gang of Asura is especially warlike and is constantly battling with the heavenly general and troop. As I have told you many times before, the Asura king Vimachitrin had a beautiful daughter named Sachi, to whom the Jade Emperor became engaged. Why did he want to marry her? The Jade Emperor still has thought of desire as well as her body, but he is not severe thoughts of sexual desire. He likes beautiful women. One day, catching sight of the beautiful Asura girl, he became enamored of her and asked the Asura king for his daughter's hand in marriage. The Asura king thought the Jade Emperor's got a lot of power, and he consented. After they were married, the Jade Emperor liked to listen to an immortal speak the Dhamma. Because he went to lecture every day, the Asura girl soon grew suspicious. He goes out every day and never get home until late at night. Most likely he's out playing around with other women. Finally, she confronted him. Just where do you go every day? You wouldn't be conducting some improper business on the side, would you? No, said the Jade Emperor. I got a lecture on the sutta every day, and that's why I'm always home late. You shouldn't be suspicious. The Asura girl, not believing he was going to sutra lecture, decided he must certainly be up to no good. The Asura girl had a certain amount of spiritual power and was able to make herself invisible. She could be standing in one spot, and ordinary people with mortal eye, or even the Jade Emperor with his heavenly eye, cannot see her. So one day, when as usual the Jade Emperor got to his chariot, and head for the lecture, the Asura girl make herself invisible and rode along. Upon arriving, the Jang Emperor got out of the chariot, and so did the Asura girl. Then she materialized. "What are you doing here?" asked the Jang Emperor in surprise. "What are you doing here?" she snapped. "I've come to listen to the sutra lecture," he said. "Well, so have I," she encountered. Now the Jang Emperor is still a common mortal. He is not a certified sage by any means, and so he himself gets afflicted. This time he picked up his lotus flower, whip, and lashed the Asura girl. The Asura girl was furious and went directly to her father. Previously, when the Jang Emperor was about to be married, he had invited the Asura king to a banquet. As a gesture of respect to his new father-in-law, he sent out his heavenly generals and troops to welcome him. However, the Asura king was suspicious and was displeased at the Jang Emperor's display of power. Now his daughter returned with the report that the Jang Emperor was not following the rules at all. "Every day he goes out with some other woman," she said. "And today when I tried to talk to him about it, he struck me." At this, the Asura king became enraged. "Jang Emperor," he stormed, "this means war. We are going to fight to the finish." And he mobilized the Asura troop against the Jang Emperor. Strangely enough, the Jang Emperor lost battle after battle and could find a way to overcome the Asura king. Finally, he had no recourse but asked the Buddha for help. The Buddha told him to instruct his troop all to recite Mahapragnaparamita. So Mahapragnaparamita is a very special paramita. Paramita is perfection, and Maha is great. Prajna is wisdom. Great wisdom, perfection, sutta. As they went into battle, they recite the phrase Mahapragnaparamita. The Asura lost battle after battle until they had retreated as far as they could and were back up into a lotus seed pod. Why was Asura king unable to understand Mahapragnaparamita? It's very simple. Before the heavenly troop recite it, they would win a battle and then lose a battle. After they recite the phrase the Buddha taught them, they won continuously. Previously, the Asuras and the heavenly troops had been more or less equal in strength. Neither side had any wisdom to speak of, and their battle were utterly chaotic. When the heavenly troop recite Mahapragnaparamita, they attained great wisdom, while the Asura still had none. When those without wisdom fight those with wisdom, the one without wisdom invariably lost. So the Asura were outwitted, and the heavenly troops were wise. When the wise battle against the downwitted, sooner or later the down ones always lose. Such was the situation between the Asura and heavenly troops. More than anything, Asura like to fight. We can take a look at the people in the world. Whoever like to fight is an Asura. Asura are necessarily found only in the heavens. Human beings who like to strike and war are transformed. Human beings who like strife and war are transformation bodies of Asura. They like to fight when they were in the heavens, and they continue to do so as people. So this is the story side. And we read on. There were four Asura King Balin. So now they describe who Balin is. Balin means fettered, because he was tied up. Who tied him up? He was tied up by the heavenly troop. Asura King Karaskanda. Karaskanda means broad shoulder because his shoulder was especially broad and he was very powerful. Asura King Vimachitrin was the Asura King just mentioned who fought the Jade Emperor. Although he was terribly ugly, his daughter was remarkably beautiful. After his battle with the Jade Emperor, he ended up retreating into the seed pod of Earth Lotus. His name means Son of the Sun. Asura King Rahu means obstructing and holding. For when he raises his hand, he can blot out the light of the sun and moon. One could explain his name in many ways. You might say he can obstruct affliction. You might also say he is obstructed by affliction. If you say he can obstruct affliction, then he has no afflictions. That's one explanation. You can also say he has been obstructed by affliction so that all day long he gets angry and wants to pick a fight. Each of his retinue of several hundreds of thousands, of followers, each asura brought along a great many followers. Then we move on. The next one is there were four Garuda kings. The Garuda king, great majestic. The Garuda king, great body. The Garuda king, great fullness. And the Garuda king, as you will. Each with his own retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. So these are the description of all those who attended this lotus flower, a wonderful Dhamma lotus flower sutta. Okay, we read out the commentary. We try to move on faster. What's a Garuda king? Those of you who have heard sutta explain will know. Those who haven't will know after I explain it. Garuda is Sanskrit. It means the great golden wing penguin. Oh, no wonder. The Indonesian airline, they call it Garuda. Garudas are not born from egg, but from the womb or from transformation. The bodies are immense and they have a wingspread of 300 yojanas. A yojana being 80 li. A li is about 1/3 of a mile. When a Garuda flaps his wing, the entire ocean dries up, exposing all the dragons that live in his head. The pink bird then eats the dragon one by one, just like how we eat noodles. Chicken and birds eat worms, and worms belong to the same category as dragon. In fact, most insects recognize dragon as their ruler. The small bird eats small worms, the big bird eats big worms. That is the pink bird. Eat dragons. Dragons are simply big worms. Well, the pink bird have been eating the dragon for quite a while. Until finally, the dragon were on the verge of extinction. The reason we don't see dragon around in this world anymore is because for most of the part, they were eaten by the pink birds. If, however, the dragon became extinct, the pink bird would have nothing to eat and would also starve. That is why we don't see this pink bird around either. As the dragon disappeared, the pink birds lost their subsistence, a sustenance, and began to diminish as well. So if we in the world have nothing to eat, we will become extinct too. Finally, the dragon went to the Buddha, pleading for help. The race of dragon is facing extinction, they said, because we are truly no match for the pink bird. With their spiritual strength, they can cause the ocean to dry out with a single flap, mighty flap of their wings. Because we have no place to hide, they are eating us so fast that soon the race of dragon will entirely disappear. Then Sakyamuni Buddha took one of his old precept sash, not a new one, and said, "Take this back with you and give one thread to each of it to each dragon to wear, and the pink bird will not be able to see you." The dragon returned and followed the Buddha's instruction, and sure enough, the next time the pink bird flapped at the ocean, they saw no dragon at the bottom. When they figured out that the Buddha had helped the dragon, they went to the Buddha to argue their side of the case. "You have helped the dragon," they said. "But now we have nothing to eat and we are going to starve to death. What is to be done?" Sakyamuni Buddha said, "We won't starve. Don't eat the dragon. After this, I will instruct my disciple to send out part of their means for you to eat every day at noon. That's why when we perform the noon meal offering, when we send out a bit of food for them, we recite the verse, 'The great penguin, the golden winged bird, and all the ghosts and spirits in the world, the Raksasa, ghost mother and their children, may they all be filled with sweet dew.' And then we give the penguin their food. From that time on, the penguin did not eat the dragon. Nevertheless, they had managed to eat most of them, and now only a few dragons left or remain. There are only 4 or 5 dragons left, one in each ocean or so, and they are rarely seen. The great pink bird took refuge with the triple gem, and they may have seen their pictures in various books. However, although the pink birds are huge, they have spiritual penetration and can make themselves small. They are more or less like the dragon in that respect. Dragon can transform, can perform transformation themselves, and they are pink bird's food. So of course the spiritual penetration of the pink bird must be inconceivable. Don't think that the spiritual penetration of dragons are so special, because those of the great pink birds are even greater." Then we move on. There were 4 great Garuda king. Garuda king, great majestic. He saw into empty space and filled the heavens and cover the earth with his majestic awful presence. Then we have the, what is it? Oh, also, sorry. I made a mistake. Luckily, Sui heard. I read again. He saw into empty space and filled the heavens and covered the earth with his majestic, awesome presence. Not awful, sorry. The Garuda king, great body. Garuda king, a great arm to begin with. But this one is massive, bigger than the average Garuda. Even he is not as big as the Garuda king, great fullness. He is so big that when he lands on the ocean, he displays every drop of water in it, completely filling it. The Garuda king, as he will. There was yet another Garuda king, as you will, as you like it, just as your heart wishes it to be. Everything is just the way it should be. If he wants to eat dragon, he jumped right into his pit. Oh, sorry. If he wants to eat dragon, they jump right into his pit. He doesn't even have to flap his wing at the ocean to get the dragon meals. Because as soon as he thinks about eating dragon, they pop right into his mouth. He just say, "Here, here, I want to eat you." And the dragon obediently comply with the Garuda king, as you will. Each BP's retinue was several hundreds of thousands of followers. A great number of them all came to join the Dharma Flower Assembly. Okay, then we move on. There was Vaidehi's son, the king Ajatasattu, with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. Each made obeisance to the ruler's feet. He drew to one side and sat down. Commentaries. There was Vaidehi's king, the king Ajatasattu. Vaidehi is Sanskrit. It means consider. And it means consider. Vaidehi had a son named Ajatasattu. Ajatasattu means hated before birth. Before he was born, many inauspicious events took place. His name also means fingerless, because when he was born, his mother hated him so intensely that she bit off one of his little fingers. Ajatasattu committed every evil deed, including all the five rebellious acts that is unpardonable. Offenses means the heavy, very heavy, heinous karma. Like he killed his father, he killed his mother. That's like patricide and matricide. He killed an arahant, a certified sage. He shed the blood of the Buddha. One time he threw a rock at the Buddha and hit him on the foot and drew his blood and broke up the harmony of Sangha, means called Sikhism. Those of you who have read the Sutra of 16 Contemplation will know the causes and conditions surrounding these events. As a prince, Ajatasattu was Devadatta's friend. Although Devadatta was the Buddha's cousin, he did everything he could to slander and ruin the Buddha, behaving in an entirely strange and cynical fashion. Knowing that the prince was heir to the throne, he cultivated his friendship and then persuaded him to kill his own father and mother so that the prince could become king. Then as king, he could have the Buddha killed too, and Devadatta would be proclaimed as the new Buddha. As the new king and the new Buddha, the two of them could then together rule the world. So despite the Buddha's awesome virtue, his own cousin was his bitter enemy. Acting on Devadatta's ill advice, the prince had his father imprisoned in a dungeon, surrounded by seven walls. One had to pass through seven doors in seven walls to get in. It was impregnable, stronger than even iron or brass. Prince Ajatasattu denied his father food and water until the king was on the verge of starvation. Such were the prince's command, and with the king in jail, no one dared to protest them. Because Vaidehi loved her husband very much, he managed to sneak in to see him. In those days, women wore head ornaments studs with hollow beads. Vaidehi filled the beads with grape juice, wear them on the neck, on the head. He stole in to see her husband and gave him the juice to drink. What kind of a son had they given birth to? Who would want to starve his own father to death? When the king had drunk the grape juice, the two of them sat there in the jail cell and began to cry. The king thought Sakyamuni Buddha is a great enlightened one. complete with all knowledge. He certainly knows how I've been suffering here in jail. He should rescue me. Just as he thought of the Buddha knew, and he sent Mahamoggallana, his foremost disciple in psyche, to speak the Dhamma for him every day and teach him how to cultivate and apply effort. Why did he bow in the direction of Mount Gidrakuta, where the Buddha resides? Then the Buddha himself came to see her, and she wept, saying, "This world is too full of suffering. I don't wish to dwell in it anymore. I want to find a better world where I won't have to undergo too much pain. My own son wants to kill me. What is the good of remaining in this world?" She asked the Buddha to point out a bright road for her rebirth in another world. The Buddha spoke the Sutra of 16 Contemplation, which are 16 methods of contemplating teaching. Teaching 1, how to seek rebirth in the Western land of ultimate bliss by reciting the name Namo Amitabha Buddha. Why did he and her husband cultivated that Dhamma accordingly and later were reborn there? King Ajatasattru killed his mother and father, created disharmony within the Sangha, killed Arahant and shed the Buddha's blood. The five rebellious or heinous act basically cannot be repented of. There is no way to save one who has committed them. However, later realizing his mistake, he stood before the Buddha with bitter tears and brought forth deep repentance. Because he completely reformed himself, the Buddha relieved him of his offense. Thus, he was able to attend the Dhamma Flower Assembly. King Ajatasattru was the foulest and most evil man. But he later reformed his fault and ward and went towards the good. He came to the assembly with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers, kings, great ministers, and common people, all whom came to hear the sutta. Each bowed his head at the Buddha's feet, withdrew to one side, and sat down. The above mentioned gods, dragons, and entire 18 division, as well as all the people, bowed to the Buddha. Then they returned to their proper places and sat down. Okay, so at least we end the description of all those who attend. Okay, we will stop here. Okay, the next section is on the biographical sketch of the Venerable Master Xuan Huo. You can go back and read through so that the next Sunday we will share this. Next Tuesday. Coming class Thursday, sorry. This one don't have. Oh, okay. The whole series don't have. Never mind. I had to check the part 2. Volume 1. Yeah. Okay, we will sort out the volume 2 later. I see how it goes according to Sui. The one that you have on the online means the old version don't have this biographical sketch of the Venerable Master Xuan Huo. At the end of it, they also have his 18 great vows. So this one we will also go through, but I will have to check whether volume 2 is the same or not. Okay, never mind. So today we will end here. So we will have our second session, which is the usual meditation reporting followed by whatever question you may have. You can ask any question regarding the teaching, the meditation, and how you can apply this teaching.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Alicia, yes.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, Sui, and all Kaila Mitas. Brother Teo,
yes.
I can report what the meditation experience.
Okay, how?
But 我有些部分是我找不到字来 explain 的.
Never mind, 你用华语了.
Nowadays, I used to sit formal sitting in the morning. This one morning when I sit, then after a while, there was this feeling. 就是我发觉到我的 heart area 上面那边 好像一个 funnel, you know, funnel 那个漏斗 那个漏斗一个 funnel 这样子那个 energy go down, then ends up the heart, ends up the heart area 那边 就是这个是 first experience
哇，沙丘很好
另外一个 experience 呢就是 我也很难找字来 explain, but 就它好像一个 一个膜在我的头那边要跌下来，这样一个怎样讲一个 shield 这样啊？它是在
forehead 前面还是 which part of the head？ 在那个 forehead 前面哦。
我感觉上它不是在 forehead
在旁边这样子，好像一个
okay. 一个膜这样要脱下来这样。
不用急，这个就是我最近的两个
experience，so maybe Brother Teo 可以 guide
我，感恩。可以，刚才你讲那个 heart area 呢， like a funnel open up then。 The energy moving is very good. When it happens, 你一定要放松, relax into it. Then just trust the nature to do the meditation. So this is what they call the meditator, the cultivator has the ability to relax and maintain awareness until the true mind on its own located the gateway. Then when it located the gateway, it will open up. Then it's like a very soothing flow that goes in. Different people describe it differently. Yeah? For your case, it's like a funnel. Yeah? Then for other people, it's like it opens up. Yeah? Like it just open up and then the energy flow in. Whatever description it is, it is the actual thing that is happening that is more important. During that time, if you are truly in the state of silent inner awareness, then this thing activated is you located the gateway, then the yin and yang energy from outside, they will melt inside. When they melt inside and this thing happened, you will feel very soothing type of movement or phenomena inside. It's like that pure energy is very soothing. The yin and yang is very balanced. Then after it go in, you find out what happened. This energy will move, and through trust, it will create its internal movement and manifestation. Then it will move to the area that it's supposed to go to, that it's supposed to activate or do all those internal movement or transformation. So this one, you will have to find out on your own. Then later on, when all this happens, you will learn a lot of things. Then as you develop all this, the byproduct is always gas. Then always remember that later on you will come to know after your whatever energy external that you have developed through whatever meditative training that you have done. We are different people, different. But most people who do energy field one, they find it very difficult to reach this silence. Unless they release the energy field, then they go into awareness-based meditation, then they silence everything and let that nature detect. Unless they do that, it's very difficult. Yeah. But for us, who is familiar with awareness-based, then it can come quite relatively easier. But nothing to worry, because last time when I started, I also used Anapanasati. So I also build up a lot of Anapanasati type of absorption energy, or what I call calm, continuous awareness or continuous mindfulness type of energy, which is more tranquil, more still, than it going to absorption. It's like blank off the energy build-up. But whatever that thing is, there later on I also return the awareness to the heart. So as I return to the heart, the energy there build up, then I find it very difficult to like disperse the energy there build up. It's like there is no release path to release it. So what I did was I did metta, a lot of metta training or meditation. Then my metta become very strong. Every time I meditate metta, the energy can release. Then later on, when I move over to the awareness-based meditation, then when I met my last guide, who actually showed me where the gateway is, I was able to silence everything, relax, maintain awareness, and allow whatever to happen to do the internal transformation of trust. And I trust that nature to move and to do. Then I realized all my whatever energy that I trained last time to Anapanasati or awareness or whatever, it just melt inside soothingly, like a tunnel. You call funnel, I call it like a tunnel. It like very soothing, it just melt inside. And when it melt inside, your mind becomes very still, completely still. No thought, nothing. That type of stillness is not the normal stillness that the awareness-based meditation experience. That type of stillness is with the very subtle awareness inside. That is very, very still, very still. Then that nature moves by itself. Then later on, I realized every moment of my life force that come and pump the heartbeat, I can just let that life force energy goes into the nature. I use it like almost 90 over 100% going to the gateway. It just going. Then it continue to melt inside. Then it continue to do the internal movement and the transformation. I think that process went on for almost a year or so, 9 or 1 months. And later on, it become like saturated. The whole thing like become full. Then I realized the more relaxed you are, the nature can still actually activate and move. Then your heart area, the front and the back, they will start to have things opening up and develop like hollow inside that hollow. But that one is much later. So this is to let you understand what is possible and what can arise. But more important, you must be completely still and silent without thought. Then when it happens, your thought cannot arise at all. It's completely without thought. But the awareness is still there. So this is not cessation yet. Then whatever it transforms internally, that's why I say you will know where the life force energy go and how it end up doing the movement. Then the byproduct is gas. At that time, you can understand what I say. Then regarding the other phenomena, which is at the side of your head, very likely is the brain consciousness. I think it try to become more fine. This one, the wisdom must go up. Then only that pure energy with its wisdom can actually create the condition for the brain to activate the process of this thinking consciousness or the mundane thought consciousness to become like the gross one will start to collapse. It will start to collapse. But you experience it like what you described just now. It's like a layer of thing, like going to fall off or whatever. But that one is the initial process. Yeah, the brain is a very big chunk. But mine, because my wisdom was already there at that time, then that thing that happened, it was very different, because for me the whole brain was engulfed with that type of pure energy and the wisdom. Then it created that movement. Then after that, I remember, because I can feel my mind was like very fine. Then that mundane mind, which is too gross, it like cannot withstand that thing. But for the whole layer of mundane mind consciousness to collapse, I realize it has to gather on top of the head out there. Then slowly it will move. Then it come to the forehead. Then that process also take long. I remember almost 9 months for it to completely collapse. Then when it collapses, it's very strange. It's like a layer of consciousness drop off. Then after that, I remember I felt very amazed. How come it's like that? Suddenly, like, I don't have a mind. That gross mundane mind is gone. What I experienced was that nature shine forth. My nature, the supramundane mind, the awareness nature from inside. Well, without the mundane mind, like the cloud, everything dispersed, that thing shine forth. Then for the first time in my life, things that I never see before, I start to see. But nature was still the same. Everything was still the same. Then I felt amazed. How come last time I cannot see? Because the mundane mind was there. It obscured, obstruct. The awareness nature hasn't arisen. Now, everything become very clear, like no more cloud, no more obstruction, nothing, everything dispersed. Then that direct seeing, that clarity, that's why from that moment my nature can see all the universal characteristics of every phenomenon, every moment, every instant within that nature. So that one was really amazing and phenomenal. Yeah, when that thing happened, it's like truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't living beings see? As I always share this with you all in the past, and most of the time it's a retreat, and sometimes in my sharing, I said, for those who see, they always see, because truth is everywhere. The universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's why every instant, every moment, the awareness can see all those things. Then that time, not only no more doubt, everything become like unshakable, very, very clear. The Dhamma like very different. Then after that, I just sat for 5 days, I remember. Very amazed at the new phenomenon. How come the mind can be like that? And that time I also, like what happened to Sakyamuni after his enlightenment, I just tell myself, who can understand all this? And this type of training, meditation, transformation, very few cultivators can develop and reach. So that's why after that, that was I think end of 1989, I didn't do anything. I didn't even want to say anything unless there is condition to share. Then for almost 15 years, nobody really know. I only share most of the thing with my wife. But that time, I think she also can't understand much. Then later on, 2004, 15 years later, condition arise. And Yun Chan was the one that had the affinity and came to invite me out to share. That's how it all started. And the rest is history. So for your case, Alicia, sorry to you, but do your own training and investigation. Always remember when you can detect this, this is good news. But you have to relax, silent, then let it happen. This is just the beginning. It will take a while before those movements can really come about. Then it depends on your past too. If you have done this before in the past, then it can move quite fast. But otherwise, it may take longer. It may take longer. Because based on what happened to you this life, I think in the past, you didn't move into this type of cultivation as yet. But this life, you have the condition, and I think you have your vows. Your vow must have been activated. And your sincerity, your determination, and your diligence help you. That's why you can move up to this stage. But continue to relax, maintain awareness, and allow the movement to go by itself. Remember, trust the nature to do. Completely relax, maintain awareness. Be the witness. Don't allow the mind to interfere. Do not arise any thought. Means the fourth support very important. Okay, Alicia?
Okay, Sadhu, Brother Gio.
Yeah,
Sadhu. Actually, 真的很多 movement 在里面在动, 就是他自己在 activate. So, 我只是知道就是, okay,
对,
SD, 在那个 hard area, 就是很多的 movement
啊，我可以。对对对，then 你要 continuously relax. The more you relax, the more refined the movement is. Then you can penetrate deeper and further. And sometimes 你以为它不能够 move 了, but 你懂得怎样去 relax, deep relaxation is very important. Then you realize the movement can continue for a while more. Then anything manifests on its own. That one is that nature doing to trust. Then the movement is amazingly beautiful. So remember that, and it will help you. Sadhu.
Okay, Sadhu Bharat, thank you for the advice.
Yeah. 就是他的所有的
movement, 我们就是只是 aware
他罢了。对，什么都不要知道。对，他自己会给你一个 understanding 的 your nature that is witnessing all this. Will come to understand all this one. In fact, my last guy didn't even explain anything to me. He just let me know where that thing is. He said there is a gateway. Then, of course, that time I was also lucky because of my vow. He came, then I met him, then he just within that few hours I met him. First time I met him, I told you all I went up Genting Highlands. He was there in one of the resort hotel booked by a Singaporean. Then he, the wife, and another person who followed him, and also from Singapore. That time I met him for the first time. He talked to me. In a very strange and phenomenal way. Only the two of us understand. The first thing I remember he told me was, he said, Mr. Dio, I hope you understand. He said, forget about everything that you heard from them or whatever thing that they told you. Forget about it. Is it? I only teach four things, is it? Then I listen. He said, relax, aware, 24 hours. He didn't explain the detail. Then last one is trust. That time I don't know what trust was. I said, the first three I have done because I was able to be in the state of 24 hour awareness. I can relax, maintain awareness throughout the day. The only thing is, I haven't located the gateway and I don't know where the gateway is. So my nature told me if I were to look for it on my own, it would take me at least 10 to 15 years. But because of my vow, my special condition, he came. And straight away, he asked me the next question. He said, where do you return your awareness? I point to the center of the heart. He straight away tell me how wrong. Then he point towards the heart there, is it slightly towards the left. I think 1 to 2 inches away, he said. But different people different, he said, which I believe is true. Then after that, I told him, at the time was 8:30 p.m. already. I said, you all haven't had your dinner, is it? He said, don't worry. I said, no, we better go for dinner. I also haven't had my dinner, I said. And then they agreed, I took them for buffet dinner up there. I remember that time it was a kampong restaurant and they are from New Zealand, but they stay in Indonesia for many years. Then they like the Indonesian Malay food. So that kampong restaurant was very appropriate and nice. That's why as we had our buffet, we talked. Then after the buffet, we came back. Oh, there was that time. He straight away told me, do you trust me? I said, yes, absolutely, I trust you. He said, okay, sit down. He asked me to sit down. So I sit down. Then he said, relax. I say, I know how to relax. The first three, you thought, relax and wear. Then you, wow, I can do that already. He said, very good. Then his hand, his right hand, he was about 1 or 2 inches. He is not touching my body, around my heart area, towards the left. He just moved his hand, and it detected that gateway. Yeah. It is very strange. Yeah, his hand, there was this type of energy that is very fine, very, very fine. Yeah. It's like pure energy. And when it detected that gateway, I straight away felt something very soothing. Then I know how to relax, but anyway. Then after that, I completely silent. Then no more thought, nothing. The whole thing moved, the yin and yang, everything went in. After that, I don't really need him because I know how to do it on my own way. Then I realized very strange. So later on, I reported to him. He was very happy for it. I said, very strange. I said, after this thing happened, I said, like no more thought, completely still, without thought. Then my whole body transformed. The vibration all become very, very fine. Very, very fine. The yin and yang all melt inside and become very still. Then at one stage, I remember for the first 2-3 months, my body was, I know, perfect, like a perfect human being. Whatever sickness or disease that I may have early on, but I don't have much. But I know whatever small thing that I used to have at that time, completely healed. So then I use my own word to describe it. It's like a car, perfectly tuned until that the car, no more vibration. The car engine, when it's perfectly tuned, is very soothing. Like very fine. No more of that. No, very soothing still. It's like perfectly tuned. And you feel like you are like a perfect human. I never felt so perfect before as a human. But those few months was actually amazing, wonderful. Then everything clear. But like I said, this type of pure energy and transformation, that type of energy, when I was having it, everything clear. But later on, as I was able to be in this state, experiencing all this pure energy, everything for so long, for so many years, then I realized it's like initially I used to give this analogy, which is very apt. Like if you are young, maybe from average family or a family that doesn't really know how to so our general health is like we haven't really taken supplement or vitamin or certain health product before. So we just grew up as a normal kid without any supplement or what. Then suddenly you are given this health nutrition or nourishment or both, you realize it's very effective. Immediately you feel yourself healthier, stronger and all those things. So this pure energy is the same. But after you have taken that nutrition or health product or whatever, boyong, for a while already, then it no longer has that type of effect on you, you understand? Then with that type of supplement or or help from the Boyo. If your help can still, like later on, catch a cold or deteriorate, it means despite what you have, it still can cause you, I wouldn't say it's serious type of health issue. It's just that you can still become like slightly sick or what. What is trying to let you understand is the body is still a body. There is a limitation. No matter how well you look after it, when it's time to decay, it will decay. When it's time to fall sick, it will fall sick. Because despite everything, all this, then there is still condition to cause you to have those sickness coming in. Means those things will not have its effect like last time when you started taking it. So this is the analogy which I find very useful and very appropriate. So if you have this understanding, then as you go through the transformation, as you go through the cultivation, you will start to understand all this. Then the Dhamma become more and more clear. Body is just a body. You cannot expect magic. Yes, the form and mind, they go the way of nature. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not what you think. So forget about immortality and all those things. That one is for the deluded and the foolish. The form and mind goes the way of nature and is not a permanent and changing entity. So don't be foolish. Don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp. Don't be gullible. So all this understanding will arise and the form and mind understand all this clearly. This is the marvel of what they call the Buddha Dharma. That's why it's called the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta. So Wonderful Dhamma is really wonderful. That's why the Heart Sutta, the Lotus Sutta, they call it the Wonderful Dhamma. In true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. So this wonderful existence really is possible. And not only existence become wonderful, the mind that is transformed with that type of understanding is really amazing. You can never comprehend or understand its nature until you go through the transformation and the awakening. That's why the Buddha always say, you have to awaken yourself, you have to walk the path and transform and awaken yourself. No one can do it for you. He can only share his understanding, show you the way. But you have to walk the path yourself. You have to cultivate yourself. You have to go through the transformation, awakening, and development of understanding on your own. So this is the part. Hopefully, with this sharing, it can be more complete as a guide for a cultivator to come. Because today there is very good condition from Alicia. That's why my nature knows it's time to share all this. And today I describe it in a very much more comprehensive and complete way. So for those who can understand, my nature rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Alicia.
Sadhu Bharatiyo. 是的， 佛法真的太奥妙。
Yeah.
因为自从这个 transformation happened 之后，most of the time 我是很 quiet。
Yeah.
是很 quiet，
很
是很静，而且你的心就比较定。
Yeah. 那个定力不一样了的。
对，就不容易被外面的情绪啊，
不会影响到你了，
被干扰你，然后他就是他有一个 understanding 在里面，就是 whatever happened 哦，你好像知道那个原因，就是那个发生为什么会发生，因为所以你会在日常生活里面，你会真的好像觉得哎。很 peaceful， 很
yeah.
很积极的在过，就是 like radio 时常讲的 wonderful existence，
yeah,
就是
wonderful existence。
对，现在我开始慢慢的去明白，而且就是因为佛法，可能刚才 brother Gio 讲的那个 vow 的东西，
yeah.
我时常会有一个 message 的在提醒我。
Yeah.
他是说心系众生，他每天跟我讲、
yeah.
心系众生，就是你要永远把众生放在前面。
Yeah. 对、
啊，所以可能因为这样，佛菩萨来盖我，所以不是就
那个愿力，
嗯、啊，
会 create 那个 condition for you， 嗯、，so that 这条道路你能够走，嗯、But you have to be patient, then you must continue to diligently cultivate, relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. Then neither wisdom must follow. The wisdom must stabilize, become more and more clear, more and more stable. Once the wisdom stabilizes, your understanding will help the nature to transform. Then the movement become different again.Then you will know how to relax deep into it and just let it happen. Because what I realize is this tool, the pure awareness, energy, movement, and the wisdom, they must go hand in hand. You cannot be one-sided. So what happened to me was, this part I want to share also because last time I shared before, butI think most of you all were not ready at that time. So for my case, I was ahead of time in wisdom because 1989, I connect back, then my understanding, my perfection all come to me. So my wisdom and understanding of the Dhamma was there. Then I can develop the first three support for awareness-based meditation already.I know what that city is already very stable, except I haven't located the gateway. And normal people, it will take quite a while. That's why my nature knew 10 to 15 years, which is at least about that. So that time I was 35 years old. 10 to 15 years, I would have been 50 years old. Yeah. So 50 years old is the fastest already.It is not because of my vow that I met my last guy. I cannot move so fast. And my nature will not transform so fast. So let's say by the time I located it on my own, then that time, if I were to do it, it will take me like now 68. It's already 33 years.So if at 50, 33 years, I would have been 83. At that age, how to share? A lot of things will follow my forehead, mind and disappear unless there is special condition. But because of what happened, I was ahead of time. I had the wisdom and the understanding of the awareness-based meditation. And my vow is such,Whenever my nature arises, I want to realize and understand the highest wisdom at that era, at that time. That's why this last guy has to come. And it has to like activate my gateway. Then from there, I move and I transform. And because of my wisdom is already there, I know how to relax, maintain awareness, and develop all the transformation which he himself didn't go through, because he went too deep into awareness, consciousness, the pure energy. He was very far ahead. Yeah, like he said, he came from a different world system. He's not from our universe. And because of that, they have very advanced technological breakthrough, and all. They know how to tap the pure energy and all those things. And they know how to develop that consciousness movement. Yeah. But because they didn't really move into the Dhamma, the wisdom aspect, that's why his movement and transformation is different. So he moved into pure occult. It is energy field, but it's pure energy. It's not the psychic energy. They call it the pure occult energy. Then they move. Yeah. But for my case, because the wisdom, it protected me. Then when I continue to use the wisdom to relax and all, then when I realize my consciousness catch up, once I realize the gateway connect, then my consciousness, awareness, pure energy, open or cultivation catches up. Then my wisdom transform again. Then I realize the two move in parallel. Because as the mundane mind collapse, the pure mind, the very fine, pure awareness, especially after I located the gateway, then like I say, perfectly dim kind of transformation, the whole for my mind, like perfect, really perfect. Oh, then that whole thing, that movement, I tell you, nobody can understand. And it's so wonderful, so amazing. So all these are very important understanding and sharing that my nature is supposed to pass down. That's what Maitreya wants. Yeah. So the balance between the pure energy, awareness, consciousness, movement, and the wisdom, these two must go hand in hand. Then only it can evolve into that kind of transformation. So hopefully this one you all can remember as you cultivate, because you committed to your bodhisattva vow, and life after life, when you come, you will have this condition to understand. Then hopefully this website, later on, people will develop it, and it become that kind of understanding will be recorded in history within our Earth civilization. And people can actually assess it in the future. So when future cultivators come, they may be more evolved. Then they listen to this, they will know how to move. And it can be a very, very wonderful and amazing kind of assistance to them. So all this are like meant to be, which is very beautiful. So sadhu to you, Alicia. Very good.
Sadhu Bharatiyo, actually, yeah. 从来就没有想过我能够走到这里，就是能够 detect 到这个。因为它是你前世因的那个愿力啊
，and also your affinity with the triple gem and my nature and other things. So the more important one is, I think, your diligence, your sincerity, your hard work. That one very important. Then 你的愿力很强。
好，感恩 Brother Dio，
感恩，还有什么？
Gratitude，就还有一个很奇怪的 experience， 就是当我在看这 TV 的时候。 然后那个圆圆的那个声音， 就是你很熟悉的声音，就是我们这里 Army Camp 有一个那个好像那个乐队这样子的。
我知道。嗯。
Then 我听到的是好像 directly 在我的 heart area。
对。嗯。
就是他没有经过这个耳朵。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your nature listen.
啊、，so 我发觉到，哎
，Sometimes you don't need your senses to listen. 嗯、
Amazing.
Your heart can listen. from your nature.
对，很 amazing, brother. 这个我开始慢慢的知道。
Yeah. 你开始自己go through, then 你就会来悟到。悟到的很多东西来很神奇的 normal people cannot experience it but because the way we cultivate the awareness space together with this understanding of the gateway really transform the whole thing and become very different 就好像以前 I try to explain no wonder the Dhamma it doesn't like rise again after Huining the thing actually went up it flourished then many centuries or decades after Huining the teaching like slowly deteriorate again and because of thatIt doesn't really have the ability to transform living beings, to create the impact and all those things. So for all this to happen, there must be causes and conditions. So what happened is my nature realized everything that has been passed down,They deteriorate very fast. Like after Huining, the three hallmarks, most of his teaching become knowledge-based, thought-based. Yeah. Of course, the direct disciple, they were still quite good and they have the understanding and all those things, but not at the level of Huining. And after them, it started to deteriorate.Then the worst is, we have the Theravada tradition, we have the Mahayana tradition, and of course we have the Vajrayana, the Tibetan tradition. But most of the time is the Theravada tradition and the Mahayana tradition. So the Theravada tradition and the Mahayana tradition has its pro and con. I realize the Theravada tradition has its good,advantage benefit is because through the chanting a lot of the very authentic Buddha's word were preserved but the understanding of it is not there anymore that's the weakness and the interpretation of it has deteriorated and because of the chanting the memory a lot ofThing is done through memory, commitment through memorizing sutta and all these things. Then they develop a lot of thought-based training. Then they come up with methods and techniques that actually track the individual or the cultivator. So when you are trapped in thought-based type of meditation, they will deviate and go into energy field.Concentration, psychic, absorption, everything, thought-based. And because of that, very few people understand what real sati is, what real mindfulness is, what awareness-based meditation is. It's gone, no more, hardly any. Whereas for the Mahayana tradition, before Huining also very few,But after Huining, the sixth patriarch, all this understanding arises again. That's why his three hallmarks is fantastic. Wu Nian, no thought. Wu Xiang, Wu Xiang, correct, no mark. of a self-cultivating Dhamma or others, Dhamma of Dhamma, life existence. Then finally, Wu Zhu, no dwelling. So these three hallmarks, they are very, very powerful, very profound, but very few people understand. The first one may be quite easy. Mahayana developed it. Quite a lot of Zen master developed it, the first hallmark, Wu Nian. That's why they're able to progress. Then they're able to establish quite a strong understanding of the no mark, Wu Xiang. But after that, to go to the third hallmark of no dwelling, Wu Zhu, very few. Yeah, that one is the Bodhisattva way. You need to detect the gateway. Yeah. The Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature. Yeah. That one, very few, very, very few. Apart from winning maybe their first or second line of disciple at that time, some of them may have it. And I realize without that, a lot of people do not have the ability or condition to penetrate the third hallmark. And because of that, that teaching is like missing, missing, missing. And they don't know how it come about and how it can happen. There is no more reality to them. Because very few after winning can penetrate that type of transformation to realize that. But my nature understand because I have done it in the past. But this life, because of my vow, I had this special condition. That's why Maitreya came to me to request me to share. It's not to say I'm special or unique. It's because of my condition and my nature that come in this way. So it fall into place. That's why at that time, 2008, when I received the request, I straight away agree and full of gratitude. But at that moment too, I knew what Maitreya Buddha want me to do, want me to share. And all this is very amazing and very wonderful. It can only happen because it's meant to be suchness. That's why all this sharing also is meant to be. Very good. Delicious. How?
I think that's about all.
Okay.
Kanana, Brother Teo, for
your yeah, good evening. All Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo.
Yeah, Sadio.
What do you want to share? Some more? 我只是, okay. 我是这样, Brother Teo, maybe 1-2 months ago, 这样有一天我在跟我的同事走路去打包 lunch, 就讲到说, what I mean is, 我们, 其实我的 case 一定是给老板弄走 VSS1.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. So, 我同事讲, 当然可以整理这样啊。 moment 哦, Brother, 就是很翻译的就是, 你们听清楚吗? 你们听到,
听清楚, very clear, yeah.
Okay, so 我就, 我的心, 我其实要回答就是, I mean, 做人啊, a lot of things happen in our whole life, 我们没得计较 everything one, cannot calculate everything.
Okay.
So what my answer to her is, I am mole lo. of course, I realized I got, 我也是不爽啦, but before 我的 answer come out, 我的 answer 就是, I cannot, don't bother already, never mind. Yeah. Before my answer come out, what happened was, I don't know what is that, 就是我有一个感觉哦, 就是, 个火啊，那些 charcoal 啊 ，maybe still 有还有热的。那上面人家在上面倒油哦，倒那个。
哦，好啊。
You know.
嗯。
And I don't know why, 我觉得有点 strange, but in my mind is I want to answer, is I managed to answer also. But just one split of second before I answer, I feel this charcoal 在下面，上面人家在倒油。
哦，好啊。
啊 ，then 我就 answer 他啊 ，never mind 啊，计较唔到咁多噶啦 ，you know, I say. But before this period of time, or even now, I also know.我是不爽的 especially, especially my boss and my boss did separately ask me. I think they know I got this offer. So they asked me, how is your thing? Do you, have you accepted? I don't like to answer them. I just say, I don't know. I also don't know. In a way true because brother, when company knock me and ask, I want to, you want or not? So I answer them one.But until now, there is no official letter for me to receive the letter. So I don't have so much. But what I want to say today 就是我觉得很 strange 就是 when my colleagues say this type of thing, 那个感觉说人家是在倒 pour the oil on the charcoal.
Oh, okay.
然后我就 answer as what my brain want to answer, 就是 never mind 啦就是Not 这样，这个是我的一个这样 ，but it's a very special. I don't know why it happened in that way. 就是 split a second 啊 ，I got this type of, you know.
Yeah, lah, 有那些感觉的时候，which is good. Sometimes it do happen, especially if it meant to be, you can have that feeling.
Yeah.
So actually, what is it that they want to offer you?
What I want to ask is.Brother, what actually happened? I find this thing that, you know, when my colleague make this type of remark and I also have my answer for that, then in between only this thing come out and I find something that I never experienced before.
Oh, okay.
That's what I feel. On the spot, 我就知道, why so strange one?
Yeah, what is the offer that they offer to you?
If I'm not mistaken, it seems like management already approved, but I think my finance, head of finance want to delay the exercise on my department.
He still need you.
Some other department, they exercise already.
Oh, good.
My round one, they took already. 这样咯 So what for me, it's very strange is that day, in between the conversation, this thing just come up and I find I've never experienced 这样 before. 就是为什么会这样
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes 你会感觉到的。
是咯。Of course, on the spot, brother, 我就没有生气。可是 I know nowadays,
生气的啦，
不爽的。When come about 这个 While I'm counting the day, I roughly know when they are going to exercise somewhere about June. I also count
the day. So, 你现在几岁啊？
5'7".
哦，好咯。No different, because they compensate you with the VSS. Actually, 值得，值得。
That's the thing. Another experience I can tell is brought you about also, I think that was maybe 3 months ago. Okay, all the while, on and off, brought you, I have dream. My team of my dream is always lost. Losing something, losing document, losing wallet, losing money, you know.
Yeah.
I always have a dream, the team just lost. Document now, whatever. Sometimes it's a wallet. 这样. Then what happened was, 有一天我拿我的 oven 去 repair. Okay, repair, I know I pay money and I come home. Then I think it's 2-3 days later because 我没有用到 wallet, 没有用到钱. 2-3 days later, when I go and take money, 我要去拿我的 wallet, 我的 wallet, 怎么不在了The brain就叮叮叮 When was the last time I used my wallet? I can only recall 3 days ago 就是在 oven 的那个 electrical shop 这样 So So I immediately call them. It's a Bangladesh, you know.
I called them.
So I told the man, I described to him, I said that evening very late, when you almost close your shop, I come. Then the man who took the call, he said he is not the man who met me, you know. The man that I deal with me is another man. And then they have conversation beside the phone, you know. Apparently the man was beside, you know, the one holding phone talking to me. It's not the man that I met, but the one who sit beside him. Then they all can recall me, you know. They can recall me. And then I say, if you found my wallet, please return my document to me, you know. Like my driving license and all this. So anyway, I say, oh, okay lah, if you found it, you still have my contact, please call me, Jiang.
Behind the contact, yes.
Yeah, then I put out the phone, I go, 有什么大不了? Have to go to registration, road tax, don't know, what JPJ, driving license, registration, Jiang. I have to go, means I have to go, lah, Jiang. Yeah, but this is my deepest fear, no, brother. Running around,
yeah, it's troublesome, but you have to do. So finally, you found your purse.
Brother, I say, people, I told them, money, no a problem, you give me document,
what you want is a return of the document,
So actually, 我有一点点, but I think the performance for me that time is still okay, you know. Of course, brother, when I actually go to Balai Police to make report and I go to the registration department, I don't know. I think I will still be agitated lah if it happened lah. So then I was just 静下来, in the house, I was 走一下子这样, then 我想想想, I recall Saturday I changed my handbag. I take another handbag, go out.
Saturday.
I go to that handbag, I go in, I reach my wallet.
Wow, so relieved.
I go out, I bring another handbag, I take out one or two items important one into the handbag, and I reach home, I forgot to transfer the wallet out. So the point I want to raise is like, 我就怎样讲啊? Handbag, purse 不见了, 对我来讲是一个很大件事啊。 Because I hate to
run. People, they tend to have anxiety, worry. It's quite a tedious thing to get all those documents back. Yeah. Then what you're scared is you may have credit card inside and all those things.
So, 我的 credit card 不在那边, but I have to run to JPJ lah,
IC department and all those things. Yeah.
But then 我后来就想想想, 诶, 我还, 我还好, you know, as I say, when it actually happened, when I run to the Balai Police, maybe I will feel hesitant, but 我那时候我就跟我自己讲, 什么大不了, if I have to go and do, I have to do all this.
Which means you are now more stable already. 你不会好像以前那样panic到,
Yeah, but Alicia recently saw one time I say I left my whole handbag at Pak Masuri house.
Yeah.
Alicia witnessed me, you know.
That's why 你应该要 pay attention to all this. Yeah, this is what mindfulness is all about. When you have mindfulness, you can recollect, you can recall, but you need to train. Yeah, when you train, the last time you are able to recollect where you actually still have the purse, then from there you can trace back.
But brother, 我发现到我有一个毛病就是, like I normally live on my own, so in the house I alone, I'm quite 不会乱啊, but when my visitor, even one visitor like Alicia or two visitor, 我就乱到完了的.
That's why 你要 train yourself by observation. When you observe, these are your weakness. These are the tendency that can happen to you. Then you have to arise the causes and conditions to remember, so that you can be more aware, more mindful when it comes to this type of thing in the future. That's how you improve. Mindfulness is to constantly make you aware of what is going on. If you are most of the time aware and mindful, you can recollect very fast. Then you can very clearly, specifically know, yeah, the purse or wallet is there. Because you make it a point, like I used to share with my wife and my daughter, yeah. Important thing, do first. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Do first means finish the thing first. Like you want to keep your purse or handphone or what. Aware, keep it out first. Then that type of alertness, habitual importance that you assign to it will let you do all this with awareness. Then you will know where you place it. So this is training. You have to train. If you don't train, you tend to like forget where you place them. Then sometimes you can just leave it on the table, especially if you go for makan, your handbag, you don't hold it, you can lose it actually. That's why I teach my wife. So I say important thing, you hold it and keep it. Other thing later. Okay?
Yeah, brought you. Once I got gas,
learn. You are weak. Then somebody see you, you have the tendency to forget. So ask yourself, what is it that you want? You want to make sure you won't make this type of mistake again. You have to determine to be aware. Important thing, finish, do first. Keep the thing first. Like you want pay bill or what, your credit card, make sure you take it back and make sure it's your credit card with your name. Then put it in your wallet, then keep it. Now after that, only do your other thing. Otherwise, you try to multitask, you will get into trouble. You will make mistakes.
Yeah, correct. But you multitask.
Yeah, because I always make sure the thing are with me in my pocket. And I can feel it. The moment is not there. That's why the teaching is you have to learn. When you have this type of understanding, you can learn and you can become different. Okay?
So I have to make it a point when I'm in that situation.
Determine to remember all these mistakes and important thing, do first, like your wallet, your handbag or what. Make sure you have it in place. Then for us men, we have pocket. We put it in our pocket first.
Thank you. Okay. Pay attention to this. Okay, thank you, brother.
Okay, let us rejoice. Rejoice with all the sharing from Alicia and Pauline. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.